This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving, Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of The Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
Man, I have a lot of expectations about how this episode might go.
Tell me, maybe you have expectations about
how you live your life, and every person listening might have expectations of how they live their life. And let's talk about grieving unmet expectations.
Wait, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What are your expectations about how this episode's going to go?
That I'm going to cough during it?
Yeah. I'm a little sick today.
Okay, I feel like sinuses, kid in daycare, everything. So like, you might hear a little, Ben will edit out these coughs, but my expectations is that I might cough a little bit during this, and I am hoping people will give me understanding and empathy. But let's talk about unmet expectations.
And you know what? I think that expectations are present in so many areas of our lives. Mm-hmm. They're present in our relationships, and they're present internally with ourselves.
And let's talk about, I think it's also very interesting to think about like the developmental part of this, which is very interesting to see, since I have a toddler. Yeah. And my toddler's entire life is currently unmet expectations, because she has a lot of ways she wants shit to go, which we never know, right? Like, she was unhappy that I walked in the room at the same time as her father. And then she's like, daddy, go away. Mommy, shoo, shoo. Right? She has very specific things of how she wants this to go. So even in like very early childhood, something printing randomly?
No, I was wondering what was going on.
So even in very early childhood, we have expectations. And maybe they don't mean a lot, but like you see it like in meltdowns with toddlers. Uniquely.
Well, I wonder too, you know, with toddlers or, you know, developmentally, there's a lot of unmet expectations because of like magical thinking, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of expectations of like, if I do this with my Barbie, like this will happen.
Yeah. So the thing that was the big meltdown this morning as I was getting ready to come here was that I put dry shampoo in my hair. Everyone listening knows. Mm-hmm. You all know the deal. Right? So I'm putting dry shampoo in my hair. And she was like, put that in my hair. And I was like, yeah, sure. We haven't washed your hair in a little bit. I'll put some in your hair. And then she really, really wanted my husband to put it in his hair, yeah, which he did not. And he just pretended to. And holy shit, the meltdown that occurred because my husband would not put dry shampoo in his hair.
That's fair. I mean, maybe if you, this is such a weird thing to say, and I'm really sorry I'm going off topic, but you live with like a man and they don't wash their hair for a few days, their hair stinks.
Smelly.
I remember that with like my brother growing up.
Yes.
And now my husband, his hair is very straight. So yes, he like likes to give it some days until he washes it. And I'm like, you got to wash, or just put some dry shampoo in your hair.
More men should use dry shampoo. Probably do.
Or someone should brand dry shampoo towards men, because I think
this is bullshit. This is the fucking gendered branding is so insane, right? But it probably
would help them use it.
Yeah, it would probably work. Because that's what branding does. Right? Okay. The thing about unmet expectations is that they can really fucking suck us like dry. Like they can really crush our souls.
Right. And I think, you know, okay, so I feel like we got to hone in on like one specific, like if we're in a relationship, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. we have an expectation of our partner. And we talk a lot about this with unconscious and conscious contracts, that when we have an unconscious contract and we go into a relationship, we believe, okay, I'm going to go into this relationship or I'm going to get married. And this is what's going to happen because we're getting married, mm-hmm. right? It's something that we don't necessarily talk about, but we bring in all of these expectations into the marriage based on our past experiences, based on what was modeled for us. And we bring that into the relationship. And then our partner is also bringing their expectations into the relationship too, which might be very different, right? And these are things that typically we don't really talk about before we get into a partnership.
Okay, I have a funny story.
Tell me.
Okay, I would have a story. This is going to go into, right, it goes back to the episode we did about jealousy and envy.
Yeah, good.
In college, one of my roommates had a boyfriend that, I don't know if he was just like rich as shit or what, but he was always taking her out to do like very nice stuff. Like they're going to dinners. He like 1 year bought her like this huge fucking panda, like big like bear, not a real one, but I mean like all this stuff, right?
Like, and I was like, always, he bought her a fucking panda.
Yeah, that think about the wealth you would have to purchase a panda bear.
That
I don't know.
That would be the best gift. Okay,
I was very jealous because I thought that it represented love. Turns out he was fucking cheating on her. But at the time, I was like taking it out on my partner and being like, oh, we should do this or we should that, because I was so influenced by that. And I thought that it represented it. And I thought that it made their relationship more legit and her prettier and like and all the things you like yeah. tell yourself of like what it represents, right? Like, which actually represents nothing. Right. But in my head,
cover up.
Oh, yikes. But in my head, I thought that like I had such expectations that of what my relationship should look like that were like always unmet. My husband had like no money. Right. Had, like no money in college.
And I think so
as most people don't.
Sometimes you don't even realize what your expectations are until you're reacting to them.
Mm.
Right? Like, were you even aware that that was an expectation you
had? I was just
had?
Jealous.
Yeah. Of course. Who doesn't want a panda?
It might have not even been a panda. Maybe it was just anywhere. I don't know. But this story is funny with a panda, so we're going with that one. Yeah.
Right. But so you react to them, but sometimes you don't even realize what those expectations are until you're having a reaction to it.
Well, and I think the most common one we hear with couples is the expectation that my partner will know what I want and need.
Okay. This is so meta, but I knew that that's what you were going to say.
Well, we spend too much time together.
We do. I really do. I told Emily I would do literally anything for
her. She did tell
today.
Me that today. I said I wanted to buy couches instead of the chairs. She said, yeah, for you, anything.
And
love.
You should know I am very cheap.
Yes, what you should know about Jen is she will not spend money on anything.
I like to save money. And so if I am saying let's buy a couch, it means I would literally
yes, that's
do anything.
So true. But so then there's an expectation. Does my partner supposed to do anything for me at all times? Is my partner supposed to know what I'm thinking? Is my partner supposed to know what I need? Is my partner, and if I, especially when I see other people's, and I think especially in your, like your 20s when you're comparing your relationship. Oh my God.
Because everyone is so like passionately in a relationship at that point.
Well,
you know?
Fakely. I mean, according to social media.
Yeah. And so that's the thing is that, and I think we have this idea, right? We talk about how do we develop these expectations?
Yeah.
And part of the reason we develop these expectations is we have this false sense of what a connected, healthy relationship should look like, right? And mm-hmm. so one of those ideas is, oh, it's someone who's buying something or like doting on their partner yeah. all the time, right? You complete me. I am not a person without you. Right?
So, these are actually just lines of unhealthy.
Very unhealthy boundaries in relationships. And so, but a lot of us go into a partnership with those expectations. Yeah. And if those aren't met, then we hold our partner to an unrealistic expectation. And what happens when we do that is it then breeds resentment, right? So unrealistic expectations that we hold in a partnership can very easily breed resentment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the line or the question is what's a realistic expectation as opposed to what's an unrealistic expectation?
Yeah.
Right? And so if you're having a conversation with your partner, if you have laid it on the table to say, these are my expectations, I have this expectation that you won't cheat on me or you, right? That's
yeah.
a pretty realistic expectation to have.
Reasonable,
in the relationship.
Yes, yeah,
uh-huh. And so it is okay to set that. It's okay to talk about that. But if your expectation is that every time I come home, Dinner is going to be on the table.
And my slippers are at the door waiting for me with a heated towel to wipe my asshole.
And that isn't met. What was that last thing you said?
A heated towel to wipe my asshole is what I said.
Because who doesn't want that when they get home from work?
You're the only person who's going to laugh at that line.
Sorry, I just had to reiterate what was happening.
Why in that scenario was somebody... Yeah, I don't know. Just keep it moving.
Sorry, I had to just pause. Then if those are your expectations, most likely they're not going to be met in your relationship.
Yeah.
So the question is, are your expectations in your relationship, are they realistic or not? Yeah. Are they things that you've communicated? Are they things that you are even aware of?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an important thing to ask yourself in your relationship.
Well, and I think it goes so much. We keep talking and like sort of like touching almost on comparison, right? I have an expectation that when so-and-so had their baby, her mom was there all the time. So I thought my mom would be there all the time, right? Like, that's when you hear a lot. Like, I had an expectation that once we had kids, my husband stopped playing video games. I had an expectation. And once again, that is the unconscious conscious contracts. But there's like other reasonable ones in life that like really suck, right? Like David Burns, who wrote the Feeling Good Handbook, he always says that frustration is when expectation does not meet reality, right? So we had an expectation because the train said that it's going to arrive at 9:02, that it's going to arrive at 9:02. And when it doesn't, when it arrives at 9:05, that equals frustration. But what do we do with frustration? Why is it that we have unmet expectations? There is such a grieving process.
Well, I think, too, that we believe that if we have, in certain situations, we believe that if we have expectations, that it somehow will change the future, or you will have some sort of control over the future. And that's where the magical thinking that you do as a toddler, as a child, when it transitions into adulthood, it doesn't work in the ways that we would want it to, right? Like, wouldn't it be great, though, if you did have expectations and it changed the future?
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, that would be magical. What, like, of course, that would be phenomenal.
But I think so often our brains go there, right? Of, like, I expect, okay, so, and I think it plays out, like, in, with people a lot of the time, right? So if you throw, like, a huge birthday for your friend,
mm-hmm.
right? And then your expectation is that your friend is going to do the same thing for you.
Ooh. Or they're so excited that you threw this huge birthday for them.
Yes.
But actually, they're totally overwhelmed.
Right.
And shut down when the surprise comes.
Right. And so you're working so hard on this birthday with the expectation of they're going to be so happy. They're going to be so excited. When in the end, even though you have that expectation, you have no control over what their reaction is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that is a time in which we expect, we believe that our expectations are going to affect the future.
Yeah.
Somehow. Things that are actually just out of our control, which can very easily lead to disappointment.
Yeah. Which is like sometimes a really good reason to set the bar low.
I love setting the bar low.
Right. You, Jen is the queen of setting the bar low.
You can never be disappointed.
But like, I don't know, there is something beautiful and sometimes spiritual in hope.
Yeah.
And dreaming.
Ooh.
Right? Like of letting yourself go there?
Yeah, no, not I. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it sounds nice.
You know, isn't there like something beautiful in the anticipatory excitement that we sometimes don't let ourselves have because the fear of like looking foolish?
Looking foolish, right? Yes. Like the embarrassment of it.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't go there. Really just don't go there.
But wait, you will go with some research. Don't you have some research?
Oh, wait, no, I actually have a really good research.
What you like is facts and figures,
I love
Jennifer.
Facts and figures, guys. Hold on. Do you like, give me a Jeopardy sound? Okay, well, okay. Sorry, it didn't last long. Sorry. So we're talking a lot about how when you expect something from other people and they don't meet those expectations, it's easy for you to breed resentment, to build that resentment. But on the flip side of it, there is something called, I am going to butcher this, I really should have practiced this beforehand, Pygmalion effect.
The Pygmalion, like from Shakespeare?
Yeah, I guess.
Tell me more.
It's a phenomenon found from a Harvard research study in the 60s. Found that the beliefs and expectations that we hold for others may have an impact on the behavior that they showcase.
What?
So it's almost opposite of like learned helplessness, right? So like if you expect that someone's like never going to do something and you do it for them over and over and over again, then they learn that they say, oh, well, I can't do this, right? That they like learn that they can't do it. But on the flip side of it, if you expect or have these higher expectations for people, they're more likely to fulfill those expectations because you believe in it. But I think that there's a way to communicate it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Did they give you that answer too in this research? No, they just told you the fucking
A little
numbers.
Bit, actually.
I want a resolution! Damn it!
We treat people better, give them more opportunities to succeed, and offer them more constructive feedback. In turn, those close to us now have the incentive to push themselves to achieve certain goals and will want to succeed not just for themselves, but also for us.
Okay.
So they did. They gave me a little bit.
All right, they gave you a little bit. So what would you do with that?
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready-to-eat meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, a lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
So I would think about the way that you're communicating your expectation to people in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're saying when your partner, if you're walking in the door and you're saying to your partner, like, I can't believe you don't have a warm towel for my butthole. I had to bring it back around. How dare you?
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing. As opposed to, hey, listen, I know how loving and caring you are and how much you care about me. And it would mean so much to me if there was a warm towel waiting for me for my butthole when I got home. Is this a bad example?
Yes, this is, yeah. But, okay, I feel like this happens. All right, so I can give you, like, a real-life example.
Love it.
By the time this episode airs, my husband will be unemployed, which Jen is cheering for. And some people might feel a little freaked out about that. This was something that we are very happy about as a family. My husband's taking... His job just started to, it wasn't the right fit for our family anymore after having kids, and they were making them go back in office full time, which, like, I'm sorry, if you're in a job that's making you go back in 5 days a week, I am so sorry.
I just think, like, flexibility is so important, especially
come on a hybrid model. I felt like as a nation,
we should always be on the hybrid model.
Right? For, like, all things.
If you can, right? Yes. A hairstylist, that makes sense.
I know. There's certain things that it doesn't work for, right?
But, like, you could be on a hybrid model.
But, like, when you do what my husband does, like, you could absolutely be on a hybrid model. So, after, like, many discussions and teary conversations, the decision we have made is for him to take a little bit of time off until we find, like, a really good fit for our family as a whole. And, like, one of the things we had to talk about is, like, all right, so what's this time going to look like? Because we're not going to take my daughter out of school because she loves school.
Right.
So what's that going to look like, right? I will feel myself getting resentful if he spends all day on the couch. Now, if you know my husband, there is, like, I think that his, you know, his soul would explode if he, like, ever took time to rest. Never. But it's like, so we had, like, a few talks about, like, okay, what will this time look like? How is this going to work for us as a family? And, like, really communicating that through. Now, the hardest part for me is I'm a bit of the queen of unspoken expectations.
Ooh.
Like, Jen, you're the queen of having no expectations. I am the queen of, like, false scenarios,
air sign that we're functioning. Like, it's really incredible.
Like, I'm like, this is gonna be so wonderful, perfect. Then when it's not, I'm like, what the heck happened here? So, right? So, like, so this gets down to is, like, how do we talk about it? And once I talk to my partner about the things that work for our family, we need for our family, and he gets to also say his two cents, not a dictatorship, how do we have peace with that, right? Where's the joy that can come from that? And I think that it allows some of the grieving process to go. Now, there's always going to be I think there's a grief with life no matter what. There's always, like, a bit of an undercurrent of grief.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we're the only thing, what's the saying? The only thing constant in life is change.
I know. That saying is bullshit. It's so real.
It's so real. And it means we're always losing something.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. That hits. And so I think that but you have to first be aware of, like, what the expectation is in order to figure out what you even have to let go.
Okay, so question for you.
Yeah, I'm ready.
You're going to be mad at me after we turn record off here.
Okay.
Are there any ways that you having low expectations are hurtful or a detriment in your relationships?
1,000%. Not even a question.
Because I think some people be listening and be like, well, just make smarter to have none.
No, because I think I end up over-functioning in a lot of ways.
Okay, tell me more.
So, like, for example, my husband is really not good with technology. Emily knows this very well. And so I think there's a part of me that doesn't expect him to get better at technology, and so I just do everything for him. Also, because I'm pretty decent at technology.
Mm-hmm, you are.
So that's a point in which I end up over-functioning in a lot of ways, and it goes against the Pygmalion effect, right? Where I'm just like, if I over-function for you, then you're never going to end up learning how to do it yourself, right? He will always believe that he's bad at technology. But the way that you get good at technology is you have to practice.
It is. I mean, like, it is like a learned trait. You know, it's so funny is how many people listening are like, that's me and my parents.
Right. Exactly. And so, well, that's another thing I wanted to bring up, because I think that expectations also play a role in our relationships with our parents or people who, you know, we had wished that they had given us something different in childhood, or that we had a different relationship with them. And I think a lot of people struggle when they keep expecting that to change because they have trouble letting go of what they wished was there or what could have been. And so that's where grieving is actually really important, to be able to say, I can grieve the relationship that I never had, so that I'm not holding a person to this expectation that will never be met, because that can very easily bring disappointment up over and over and over again.
It's funny because I was thinking about it, Jervis, we have a lot of people that write into the podcast that have recently changed jobs over the past year, right? That, like, you know, have been like, oh, I got out of, like, a toxic work environment. And I think sometimes when we do something new, there's also expectations that it's, like, going to be perfect. Like, we're going to love every part of this job, right? Like, we love what we do, but, like, I don't love every part of what we do.
Of course. It's working.
Like, yeah, it's still a fucking job. It's still working. I hate a lot of the stuff we have to do often.
Honestly, it depends on my mood.
Yes, right?
It really depends on my mood.
Sometimes you love running payroll, Jen?
I fucking hate it. There were so many days when we first started doing it a different way. I called Emily just hysterically sobbing, crying.
Right? Like, do I, like, love when someone has, like, an emergency situation? I have to, like, help them at, like you know what I mean? Like, midnight? No. Like, those, like, certain parts you don't love.
Right.
But, like, it just is.
Right.
And so, like, to have this expectation that it's great, it's perfect, it's wonderful, it's 100%. That also, that shit goes into toxic positivity.
And magical thinking. Like, that's, mm-hmm, like our magical thinking episode. When, yes, I get out of this job and I get a new job, I'm going to be happy for the rest of my life and that won't change.
Well, that's also expecting for you to not change, or right, for the world to not change, right? Like, you may have loved your job before the pandemic happened and now you might be like, I do not like the way this has rolled out.
Totally. I think it plays into what are our expectations that we put on ourselves? Mm. Which I think is a big thing, because I also think...
Too high.
Because I also think that plays out, you know, in a lot of ways in the expectations that we put on others. Too low.
I was thinking about that TikTok. It's like, watermelon sugar, high.
And like... Keep going.
That's all. That I'm not doing it. You know what I'm talking about? Like, and then it's just like pictures of people high. This went a different way.
Also, I thought you deleted TikTok. You back on it?
No, that was from when I was on TikTok.
Right. That's
I love TikTok more than anything, which is why I can't be in a relationship with
that's
it.
Good. That's
fine. I'm not kidding. I would spend my entire life on TikTok
it's
if I could.
It's really hard.
Emily, I don't know how you're. I had to quit. I had to go abstinent.
Emily
late.
Found a TikTok.
I'm in recovery.
Emily found a TikTok on...
Somebody posted it on
Instagram.
On Instagram.
And she texted. She was dying. That was the funniest thing ever. And she texted me. She was like, can you please find this for me on TikTok so that I can save it and watch it whenever I'm sad?
Because if it's on Insta stories, it goes away in 24 hours.
So I found it for her. We saved it.
And the expectation I had was that video would be funny every time, and it is.
It is.
I'll post it on our Instagram.
Okay, but also, all right, so expectations that we have on ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So how did you develop certain expectations for yourself? Mm. Were there certain expectations that were put on you as a child that you internalized? And also ask yourself, like, how do those expectations affect you? Do they help you, right? Like, are you setting goals with those expectations and meeting those goals? And is it feeling good for you where you're not putting so much pressure on yourself, or there's some sort of, like, perfectionism piece of it? Are they helpful for you, or are they hurtful for you? Are you setting such high expectations for yourself that you're never meeting them and always feeling like a failure?
Well, and then that means also everyone else in your life ends up being a failure.
Right. Exactly.
Because you can't block it out. Like, and that's what it goes back to, like, why we're systemic therapists, that everything happens within context. You do not live in a vacuum. So you can be like, well, I hold these rights and expectations to myself, but nobody else. Bullshit, man. Whether it's conscious or unconscious, like, it goes into everything.
Whenever you say we don't live in a vacuum, I'm picturing...
yourself in a vacuum?
Yeah.
with a Dyson or
yeah,
a shark?
Yeah, Dyson.
Nice. At least you're in a fancy vacuum. Right.
one that works. You say or a shark.
A Roomba?
Dysons are expensive.
I do not have a Dyson, but I do have a Roomba.
Oh, is that what you would picture yourself in?
I guess so. That seems very cold.
Did you
and
name your
in
Roomba?
There. DJ Roomba, just because we like Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah.
You never watched that show, did you?
No.
Oh, God, you're missing out.
Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Okay, wow. Let's talk a little bit. Wait, I also want to touch on disenfranchised grief.
Yeah.
Because we're talking a lot about grief in this episode, and we talk a lot about grief in a lot of our episodes, but the majority of grief that we talk about is just in disenfranchised grief, meaning it is not socially celebrated or accepted to talk about this type of grieving. When I say I am grieving an expectation of what my Valentine's Day was going to look like with my partner, then everyone's like, oh God, she's such a little bitch, right? Like, it doesn't mean you're doing it wrong,
right?
But you have to understand that, like, the rest of the world isn't necessarily going to be considerate or normalize this.
And that doesn't mean that your feelings are not valid. And I think that that's what's really important, because grief that is recognized, people are typically surrounding you with love,
yeah,
right? And they're saying, I'm so sorry for your loss, right? You're getting a casserole. You're not necessarily getting that when you're having this disenfranchised grief. Once again, does not mean that your feelings are not valid.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to do a few. We don't have a ton of time left, but we want to do a few questions here. Somebody said, how to tell if my expectations are too high?
For other people or for yourself? How disappointed are you feeling within yourself and with other people?
How much weight are you putting on the expectations, right? It might not be necessarily that the expectations are too high, but you're putting so much on that, it's too rigid. There's not enough room for flexibility with it.
Beautiful. I think we should just fire them out.
Okay. How to grieve former versions of myself. You know what I'm going to say?
Go.
I would get to know all parts of yourself.
Yeah, do you know what you were
going to
say?
So I do a lot of internal family systems theory, which is called parts work. And if you're interested about learning more, you can read the book No Bad Parts. But what I talk about is the way that I don't think you need to grieve those old parts and former parts of myself. I invite you to say, how can they exist in the here and now, right? So if part of that was Jen this weekend, her husband was out of town. So you got to be alone a lot this weekend. You got to meet that former single part of yourself.
I mean, not the full single part of myself.
Of course. But
that part.
Dude, act like you were that wild anyway. Like Jen's like, were you going out of the town, babe, when you were single?
I did. The single parts of myself was I ordered sushi.
You watched Coda.
I watched Coda.
If you haven't seen it.
Incredible movie. I won't stop talking about it. I cried hysterically.
So like you were able to meet this part of yourself that you often do grieve.
Right.
So one, with grieving that stuff, I would also say, how do I find that part of myself again? How do I make room for them? How do I make space for them? How do I give them the loving and kindness and consideration that they need? And then there are sometimes parts of myself that we simply don't have anymore, right? If I have children, I'm never going to not have those children, right? Like that part doesn't go away, but there are still the parts of myself, the child-free parts that really do want my attention. Yeah.
I hear that. Oh, my turn. I'm sorry. I was just...
We're spitting them out.
I'm sorry. How to not let the grief overshadow the joys. This, I think, is really important because... First of all, you can have both at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're allowed to grieve unmet expectations and you're also allowed to feel grateful for the things that you do have. And so I think that, you know, I want to stay away from toxic positivity, but there's something to be said about also recognizing the things at the same time, right? Not in spite of the things at the same time that you are grateful for. And that's where I stay away from the toxic positivity part, mm-hmm. because it's not in spite of, right? You're not like, I don't want to feel the grief, and so I'm just going to think about all the things that are positive or all of the things that I'm grateful for. No, you can feel the grief and you can also recognize, okay, well, what are the parts of myself that I do have? What are the parts of myself that I'm happy with? Like, what are in my relationship, right? If you're struggling with expectations in your relationship, like, what are the things that are met? What are the expectations that are met in the relationship that I'm really grateful for? Mm-hmm. So you can experience both things at the same time. Just important to allow yourself to feel both and not say that one has to overshadow the other.
Mm-hmm. Grieving my husband not being excited about having kids when I expected him to be. Wait. Grieving my husband not being excited about having kids when I expected him to be. So the husband is...
She expected...
Him to be excited about having kids, and he's not.
And he's not.
Well, I think part of it is, like, what are the feelings he's feeling, right? Like, I would say, like, okay, so you're not feeling excitement. What do you feel, right? Do you feel neutrality? Do you feel worried? Do you feel overwhelmed? It's very hard to connect with something you've never experienced before, right? To imagine, like, my entire world's going to be different, like... There's, like, a lot of people that, like, don't feel excitement about that. It doesn't mean they don't want it, and they're not, like, you know, there isn't parts of them that feel that, but they're overwhelmed by the other emotions. So I would start with meeting them exactly where they're at. What do you feel?
And do you feel like you can give space for your partner to feel other things besides just excitement? Mm. I think that's really important. And sometimes when we don't want to give our partner that space, we're also not giving ourselves that space to feel anything but excitement. Mm-hmm. And so... It might start with asking yourself, do I feel anything but just excitement for this? And is my partner allowed to feel multiple things at once? Can they feel scared? Can they feel excited? You know, like, can they feel all of those things at the same time? So, you know, we always say it starts with us. We do not exist in a vacuum.
A Dyson or a shark.
And to give yourself the space to feel multiple things, also giving your partner to feel that mm-hmm. space too.
How to grieve not getting supportive parents.
That's something we had touched on earlier. And I think that, especially if your parents are in your life still, that is a everlasting journey.
Yeah.
Even if they're not in your life.
Yeah. You know? Right. What are the things I wish I had for them that I didn't get? How do I give that to myself? And how do I also know that that was a huge loss for me? Right. Like, we don't get to choose our parents. We have no control over how we come into this world. And especially is also very, very hard when we're seeing other people that seem like these having. And I always say seem because, like, we really don't know what's real and what isn't. Right. Like, so, like, seem like they have these, like, insanely supportive parents, and maybe they do. And, like, it's really hard to not sort of be like, fuck those people, right? Like, and you
that's
can
where
sit,
the envy
you
comes
have,
in.
Yeah, you can have a nice little pity party for yourself. Totally. And then, how do I give those things to myself? And then, how do I give those things to myself? How do I meet those needs? That also goes into reparenting and inner child work.
Yes. And if those are coming up in your relationship, right, how do you express those, communicate them to your partner? Like, this is, you know, is this, this is really important for me. And is this something that we could talk about? How do we get our needs met in this relationship? Are we ready for a Dear Em and Jen?
Dear Em and Jen.
Okay. So a quick one. Ready? How to help others going through this. My sister is dealing with infertility for 6 years now, and I got pregnant on our first try. Also, how to work through that guilt.
So, you're looking at me. What? Because I'm the queen of infertility?
I figured you were going to take this one, but I could hop in it if you want me to.
No, I mean... Listen, I can speak to it from the side of the sister that, like, it sucks. It really sucks because you go through this part. I've now had 3 miscarriages this year. It just does not seem like having another child is a thing that's going to be in the books, at least not in the way that we had maybe hoped. And I think the thing that really comes up is that, like, you do, I know, and we have a whole episode about my first miscarriage of last year, which would have gotten too much if I did it every fucking month, guys. That's only a funny joke because of the trauma.
Right. it's the only way we deal with trauma. It's the only way, right? Jokes about it.
Don't worry, I go to a lot of therapy. Okay. So I think the thing that really does come up is, like, yeah, like, there is this thing of, like, extreme jealousy and envy when it's really easy for people, especially when you have spent time and money and energy, and like you're like, why?
Yeah,
because you want a reason. You want, and I think that's the thing about expectations, is like you want a reason, you want something to blame. And when I look at other people easily having children, that's what comes up. I don't know, I hate to say this, mm-hmm. but I don't know if your guilt is helpful in this moment. She says how to work through that guilt. I think the thing I would say is that, like, the guilt, it's not about you, right? Like, right. how do you also center your sister? You can have your joy. It does not mean you shouldn't have a baby shower. You shouldn't celebrate. You are allowed to have every single one of those things, absolutely. And how do you check in with someone? How do you be aware of them? And how do you also not try to fix it? Because I think that's the other thing, is like sometimes people can like be like extra aware of me.
Over the top.
Don't feel like you have to come to this. Be like, don't. And I'm like, all right, thanks. Like, I can do that for myself. Right. You know,
what,
like.
What could have been the most helpful thing?
Nothing. There's nothing.
From your friends that might have been pregnant. Like, was there anything that someone.
No, because it wasn't about them.
Right.
I would prefer, you know, if it wasn't like totally like fucking unrealistic, you know right. what I mean? Like, don't bitch to me about, you know, like certain things.
Like being pregnant, yeah. how hard it is.
Right. I mean, like, but like you also are allowed to like live your life. You yeah. know, like you are allowed to say those things.
Yeah.
But if it's every conversation fully centered around yourself, then like that I think can feel like really rejecting and isolating. But also at the same time, like it was up to me to like set those boundaries. Like, I do not think there was like a perfect thing anyone can still say.
If someone said to you, like, I just want to check in with you, is there anything that you want to talk about or don't want to talk about? Like, if the conversation was on the table about your boundaries and what would have been, would that have been too much?
No, I think that would have been totally appropriate, right? Okay. Like, but also, like, only if I knew you. Like, there were some right. people that kind of, like, came out of the woodworks, and I was like, I don't fucking know you. Like, I'm not talking to you about this. Like, I
that's what I'm,
yes,
that's
right?
what
like,
I'm thinking.
Like, have, like, some appropriate, like, do we actually have a relationship, right? So if you see somebody, like, who posts about their miscarriage online, you could say something, but, like, don't fucking, you know, have appropriate boundaries. Right. You know, some of the nicest things that people did do is, like, when I had the miscarriages, like, would give me, somebody gave me a necklace of the birth flower oh, of one wow. of the months. A good friend of mine sent me heating pads during one of my miscarriages. Like, different things like that yeah. are, like, very helpful things. But when you're going through it, like, this isn't a perfect situation.
Yeah.
Your getting pregnant has actually nothing to do with your sister's infertility. It's going to hurt. It's going to feel for her possibly correlated, but it just is not. And so how do you say to yourself, in this moment, I can have joy, I can have some guilt, and how do I like try to process that, put it away, and recenter?
Beautifully said.
There you go.
Thank you for that. That's our episode.
That's our episode. So if you enjoyed this episode, please send it over to a friend who might enjoy it as well. We always ask you to rate, review, some 5-star review. You know, if it's a 1, you can just, you know,
just
go wipe your butt with that warm towel. Follow us on Apple Podcasts. You can check us out and watch it on YouTube if you enjoy seeing our hilarious mannerisms and me chug coffee during this.
Chug.
But mainly, thank you for being here. We love you. And don't forget that to grow yourself, you got to know yourself. We'll see you next week.